This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
Praise to God for all the wonderful things He's doing in our midst. This evening I'll be speaking on power comes with confidence. Power comes with confidence. Remember that our general theme is in the days of His power. And oftentimes, you will see a believer who had not been born again, who before being born again was being chased by witches, wizards, and all those things, and had all sorts of superstitious beliefs. And the duty of the superstitious beliefs was to render you impotent. I remember growing up in a traditional Yoruba community and how spirits were so hyped that it seemed as if men were at their mercy. I was barely 2 or 3 years old when they began to speak about bush baby, something they call Igberi. And they would say so many scary things. And I remember the books we used to read in those days, you know, all these books, all of them full of scary beings, being 7 heads, 5 heads, 5 hands. They were not humans, but they elevated them in the consciousness of the people, in the culture. They elevated these strange spirits so much, gave them so much hype. So much so that when you are alone in your space, you are afraid of the death. You are afraid of going downstairs to lock the door. You are afraid when there is no electricity. You are afraid that there is something lurking in the dark to grab you, to touch you. And it was as a result of the pollution of the mind, the way they hyped strange demonic beings. And they put this thing in our consciousness as a people. And so, many of us grew up scared of strange spirits that could hurt us. Many of us grew up with a consciousness that there are beings called witches and that they could set your life back 20 years, 10 years. They could take your eyes. They could cripple your leg. They could make you go mad. And there we see evidence of this all around us. We see people that have mental afflictions. And we hear the stories around their mental afflictions. I remember a popular actor. When I was young, the guy was a hunchback. And he used to be part of a trio that acted in a lot of comedies. And I remember a day came and he slept with one woman and he died, even though he had 8 wives at home. And they said, oh, he died because of Magnum, Thunderbolt. And that elevated the level of fear beyond 100%. You became scared of things that you can see, things that you cannot see, things you can hear, the stories you hear. They say, there was a man that was a principal or a teacher was marking my egg, was doing well, and then he fed poisoned him and he died because both of them were fighting over the same woman. And You hear things like that. Adults were discussing it. I was a child, but I never forgot such stories. They stayed with me. This world is a battle. This world is a battle. You have to fight it. It can never be a life of ease. Everybody, we were born. Somebody like Tope Alabi, I thought I love her songs. There are some songs she sang. I was like, as I began to understand them in the lens of the gospel, said, this life is battle. Everybody that they give battle was born with his own battle. All these things. And a lot of us believe it. A lot of us believe that this life, we have come into it to face war, to fight battles, to do all sorts. And what all that does to us is psychologically renders us important. So our mindset becomes fearful. We lose confidence in our right of dominion. We believe that if we insult somebody, the person could harm us. Either the person is an elder or the person is younger. We believe that if you offend anybody, you are under direct threat of being punished by that person, either spiritually or physically. We believe somebody can give us witchcraft if they give us food to eat and we eat it. We believe if anybody has power, if we see somebody is powerful, in the context of our own traditional belief, if we see somebody is powerful, it means the person has demonic power. We never consider people carrying Bible as powerful. It never crossed my mind to see any of our reverends when I was growing up or pastors as powerful. They themselves don't carry themselves as powerful. I remember one reverend telling us that, see, respect witches, respect wizards. When they are passing, keep far away from them. They are powerful. A reverend was telling us, we little children, that when we see anybody that claimed to be a witch, wizard, or had any kind of power, we should be sheepish. We had no right to challenge such people. Because to him they are powerful, and therefore they should be powerful to us. I remember up to maybe 2 years ago, I had two other visitors in my office, and I began to tell them about the wonders of the power of God. Now, these are both Christians, old-time Christians who grew up in the Baptist Church. And I was like a son to them. So they came to visit at Newman City, and I was telling them, and they started talking about this environment. Be careful here. We are building a whole city here. There are witches here. There are wizards. There was a pastor that was rude to one of them. They made the guy back to death. They began to talk about these things. Like they meant well, but they were talking to me, and the thing was offending me because you came to see me in my office. I didn't come to see you in your house, and I didn't ask you for your counsel. I didn't ask you to tell me anything. But they were like, just let us give you our 2 cents. We can see you are doing great work of the gospel here. Don't insult witches. Don't insult wizards. If they ask you for anything, just give them. Just give them. Because there was a pastor that used to challenge them. He barked at them for vomiting blood and then he died. There's another person. And when they began to speak, they stirred in me a kind of emotion I never thought I ever had. I just went livid. That the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was unleashed in our meeting that day, my God, it was crazy. It was based on what they were saying to me. The spirit inside of me was, it was, it, my spirit couldn't, accept what they were saying. So it wasn't, they didn't know. They were talking to me, but I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And the more they talk, the more the Spirit of God inside of me stirred so heavily, so much, that a few minutes after they were talking to me, that I got to the altar and began to minister at our ordination service. My God, it was like a tsunami hit the service. It was like a tsunami hit the service. And it was because of the provocation. Because I had gotten way beyond that in my walk with the Lord. I do not have any form of fear. I do not have any form of fear. I have no confidence in the work of darkness. I have no confidence. There is nothing anybody can do. No, zero from any culture, any tradition, any country. There is nothing anybody can do. Nothing. I say that with all my heart. Zero. But I still see believers who are not crossed will become like myself. When they write to me, I can see that they are speaking in tongues, but they do not understand what it means. Just Christ said, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you," which automatically means anybody that is speaking in tongues has already received power. Do you see? He said, "Once the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the next thing is you will receive power." He didn't separate the two. "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses." So without power, we can't be witnesses. So why is it that we have Christians who are speaking in tongues and yet are victims? They are not exhibiting power. They are victims. They are victims. Write to me of their mother being a witch or their father being an occultic man. I remember a pastor writing to me and saying, "Ah, my father is the traditional oracle of the entire village, that even the king, whenever there is an issue, he consults with my father to get solutions." And this person was saying it. And I said, he said, "Yes." I said, "Well, what's the name of your village?" And he mentioned it. And it was quite a popular village. I said, "What's your latest name?" He mentioned it. And I said, "Okay, I'm happy that you have told me. Pastor, when they send for you from your village, when you receive a message from your village, run there as soon as possible." He started laughing. The man was an accountant in Lagos, one of the big companies. The wife was an accountant with one of the marine shipping companies. Both of them are pastors. So I said, "When they send a message from the village, don't delay. No matter what you're doing, run to the village." I said, "Because if you don't run to the village, if you delay for 1 minute, you will go there to do burial." And the pastor began to laugh. "Ah, Balagbenga, Balagbenga, I'm just telling you of my story." I said, "No, you said your father is an oracle, and that even kings come to him for consultation. That you are the one that came out of darkness and became a pastor, and that your father is not the type that will receive salvation." I said, "Look, you have issued me a challenge. Now, it is easier for me to convert a witch than to convert an ordinary Christian. I've always said it's easier for me to convert an occultist man than an ordinary Christian. It's easier for me to convert somebody that has eaten with demons to Christianity than somebody that has not. The reason is because the person has already exposed the soul to demonic practices and to extract the extra beans, which then means that all I have to do is when I'm praying, just tell the Lord, oh, thank you, Father. This allergy is so and so. They said he's powerful. I just wanted to withdraw his power, expose him. It is not going to be a big deal. I'll just tell the Lord in my room, then I'll open certain scriptures where I know that the Spirit of the Lord will automatically, the angel of his presence will appear, read them, then I'll go to sleep. And at the end of the day, I'll just chill. I will not do anything again. And usually within 7 days, you will hear the bell. You will hear it loud. But a lot of Christians do not press into the things of the Spirit. We are ephemeral surface, we are surface creatures. We do not try to explore the depth of the Spirit we received. It's like somebody receiving a dictionary. I'm not bothering to open it or read it. Or somebody receiving any material that needed to be studied so that you can master it, but you don't bother. And therefore, a lot of Christians then continue to operate in ignorance and continue to move on with the old mindset, the mindset in which they've tried for them. The power of witchcraft, the power of voodoo, the power of family curses and affliction. Even though now you are speaking in tongues, their language does not change. Their thinking does not change. And confidence is lost. I'll give you an example, and I hope my brother is on the call. I got a call earlier today. A brother had a mother that has been a problem to him for some time. And the problem I mean here is a spiritual problem. And this woman, typical of anybody that grew up in a polygamous home, all this brother's mother was trying to do was protect her own lot in her husband's house, which was why I empathized with her. I didn't want anything bad to happen to her. Because I understand that sometimes when you find yourself in a polygamous situation, and maybe you are the second wife or the younger wife, in the early years of your marriage, you will have gone through a lot of suffering, fighting for your husband's attention, fighting for peace in raising your children, fighting for your children's rights. A polygamous house is a very difficult house to manage, especially if the husband is not rich enough to make them live in separate locations, if they all live in the same house and they have to interact, it is quite tough. And sometimes some of the women are driven to look for extra mundane help so that they will survive that marriage. They will tell them that your senior wife will kill you or your junior wife will kill you. And because of that, because they didn't want to die young and they believe that somebody else, if anybody beats them to it, they will become victims. So oftentimes they will be the first to want to, escalate the fight and then they go spiritual in quotes. And so they begin to afflict each other. And so whenever I come across cases like that, I've learned not to extend the hand of force. But diplomacy to try and win this kind of victim away from their strange powers. Because if you extend force and the woman dies, you would realize at the end of the day that she was also a victim. Even though she's a witch, she's a victim. She's a victim of life. And being a victim led her into witchcraft. And so you then come into the picture and you just say, in the name of Jesus, die! And then she dies. I don't say, yeah, I wish you not. But if you look at her story, you will see that, hey, yes, you should have done better here. You have done better here because it is better to save her than to kill her. Otherwise, she would have gone through life suffering. Witchcraft is suffering on another level. Anybody that is a witch is suffering. You have submitted your spirit to perversion. You have basically become the house girl, housemaid of demons, and a demonic agent has no joy. There is no joy in it. There is no royalty in it. There is nothing. And yet, this person will do it because she's afraid of somebody else killing, you know? So I always calculate these things and I try to be fair. So this brother, he came with me to meet with this case and we handled the case. I'm going to God. God answered by fire. God answered by fire. My brother is fine now. All secrets have gone. Things have turned. Glory to God. Glory to God. And then he called me today and he said, suddenly my mother reached out. My mother wanted to pay me 20 million out of one of my father's property that she sold. This has never happened before. My mother reached out. They asked me for my bank account. They want to give me my share of the property. They've never done this before. My mentor has never done this before, but I don't want anything from my mother. I said, no. You see, before we prayed, you are a victim. She had never given you anything. Now we have prayed. Now we have prayed. Things have changed. Your health is back. Your business is back. Your life is back on track. You have managed to separate yourself from this woman. You are now independent and you are now doing well. And this woman is now saying, ah, okay, let us give him his due. It is no longer under my thumb. I want to give him his due. As a Christian, you should have the confidence to say, yes, give it to me. It is my right. You will not keep running. Because if you keep running, you would never ever stop. It means you still have the same old mindset. It means you are still afraid of her. You were afraid of her before you met the Lord. You have met the Lord. He has turned your story around. You should no longer be afraid of her. What are you running away from now? That means you are not confident. You think it was just a bluff or that you just got lucky and that she's still holding the cards. No, she's not. You should have confidence in the Spirit of God in you. You shouldn't run anymore. We're a lot of Christians. We don't get that. I understand somebody running from danger when you are powerless. In fact, there's a Yoruba adage that says that when your hand has touched, when you have the scepter of authority, you can then demand for accountability. Until your hand has touched it, you may not be able to demand for accountability. But the moment your hand has touched that scepter and they have said, ah, you are now the boss, then you can demand for accountability. If somebody has been torturing you since your childhood, but you are powerless at the time, it is understandable for you to run. If you run at that time, that's okay. But after you become born again, full of the Holy Spirit, please, why are you still running? It shows absolutely lack of confidence in the Holy Ghost. Absolute lack of confidence. And therefore, you cannot put his power to bear. If you don't have confidence in a thing, you cannot put it to work. You can't. You must first believe that this spirit I have received is a spirit that has set me on high. It has given me advantage over all forms of enmity and adversary. I have received the Spirit of God. It is dwelling in me. It has given me power over all things. Over all things, in any realm at any time. I'm not the type of person that you can shoot arrows at. You can try. It is nothing. If you try 1 million times, it will be nothing. At the end of the day, in the course of trying, you kill yourself. And I'm not saying that it is the truth. I'm not the kind of person. I live far above principalities and power. This is the mindset a Christian should have. And that is where the confidence of the Christian comes from. That is why when the Christian speaks, he does not talk fear. He speaks boldness. That's why the declaration of a Christian comes from. When you see a Christian who knows his onion speak, oftentimes it comes across to you as puffed up or proud. And that's not intentional. That is because from where you are, You cannot talk like that. You can't. So if somebody is talking like that, you say this person is arrogant. No, it is because you can't. It's because you can't, because that's how you should be talking, especially when you are amidst other powers that are bowing down to worship you. When a Christian enters a room full of occultic people, their spirit immediately surrenders. The person will be standing, maybe boasting, they'll be saying, "Ah, I will go for you." This person's spirit is already lying prostrate. Spirits don't lie. Spirits don't lie to themselves. Spirits know when they encounter a superior spirit. They know when they encounter a superior spirit, and they know when they encounter spirit that they are in the same category. Let me say that again. When Mary Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, was pregnant, Bible said Mary came to visit her. By virtue of natural birth, the baby in Mary's womb was already 6 months old. The baby in Elizabeth's womb was already 6 months old. Jesus was in Mary's womb, and Jesus was a few weeks old, maybe less than a month. And so the angel of the Lord told Mary that, "Hey, the Spirit of the Lord will overshadow you. You are going to have the Son of the Most High God." And then the angel said, "See, your cousin Elizabeth had also received the word of God, and she is pregnant now." So the angel already confirmed that Elizabeth was pregnant, so that Mary can at least know that she's not alone. She has a support system in the supernatural. So Mary decided she was going to go visit Elizabeth. So Mary went. And the Bible said, as soon as the two of them saw each other, the spirit, the baby inside Elizabeth leapt, basically bowed his head, basically prostrated, basically submitted to the baby inside of Mary. It's in the Bible. I'm talking babies that are full of the spirit. Both of them are full of the spirit of God. The Bible said the Holy Ghost was the one that conceived Mary since Elizabeth with John the Baptist. But of course, this one had the seed of her husband and the word of God. But with Mary, there was no seed of her husband. It was just the word of God. So Jesus was superior to John. And you see how this them when they met, immediate surrender. Immediate surrender. Now compare it to when they were older, when Jesus Christ came to John for baptism. You see the diplomacy of human discussion. When they met, John had started his ministry before Jesus. So Jesus was the unknown one. John was the known one. Then when they met, people didn't know Jesus, but they knew John. So John was supposed to be the superior one, and was the one that was baptizing people. Then Jesus came to John and he said, "Okay, I want to be baptized." Then John said, "Ah, my master, no, I cannot. I'm not fit to." So when they were talking among themselves, John was acknowledging that Jesus was superior. But those who are watching them publicly, they didn't hear that conversation. To them, they would think that, so human beings can be making mouths. You can see a bishop telling a young pastor, "I will finish you. In this town, they will not hear your name again." Meanwhile, the spirit of the bishop has already surrendered. Why? Because the young prophet has the superior spirit of the two. 1 Kings chapter 13. The old prophet, the young prophet was young, but they had the spirit of God, and it was absolutely superior to the spirit of the old prophet. But see their conversation in the flesh. Both of them were acting as if the old prophet was older. So that was how the old prophet was able to mislead the young prophet, because the young prophet was giving him respect in the flesh, but not looking at his spirit. You see? If the young prophet had been looking at his spirit, he would say to this man, "Shut up, you liar! Get out of my way!" Because his spirit will have spoken. But because he regarded the man in the flesh, the man had white hair, the man wore the clothes of prophet, he said, "Ah, this is a superior prophet. And then he used the flesh to judge him, and therefore he submitted his own superior spirit to the man's lying spirit, which then led to his death, because he didn't trust the Spirit of God in him, which is why I'm bringing this message to you today. Now, you're in my class, you understand the class so far. Can I see your hand? You get where I'm going with this? You understand it? Can I see your hand? Okay. So it is important that you understand that the Spirit of God in you, you know that you have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God in you is real. Therefore, as a child of God, because this Spirit is true and it is real, and you have proven it and tested it, and it is true, then you always speak from this Spirit with confidence. Confidence comes with it. There are Christians who speak in tongues that have zero confidence. Zero. You will see them when they are talking about this problem. They have zero confidence. They are many of them, they are what we call them nepios, childish Christians, very babyish in their thinking. They are like in their diapers. Some of them are 70 years old, 60, 50, 40, you know. Because how you measure maturity in Christianity is in speech. James said that the perfect man will not stumble in words. So when you see Christians stumbling in words, you know that they are immature Christians. Somebody that is speaking in tongues. Ye kapa kapa. He gozobede. He gozubigata. La kipiado. Hey, gay. And they are loud. And obviously, you will know that even they are speaking in tongues, sometimes it's fear that is promoting them to be shouting that way. Okay, they're speaking in tongues for like 30 minutes. They are supposed to, when they stop speaking in tongues, they are supposed to be like, thank you, Father. How capacious. Hey, this is the confidence that I have in God. Glory to God. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of power. I'm full of minds. I'm full of the delight of God. God is mine. Silver is mine. In the name of Jesus, all things are mine in Christ. I talk about all things. I rule about all things. In the name of Jesus. That's how they should speak. But no, when they finish praying, that's dumbing down. That's how most Christians, that's how they pray. They do not listen to the Spirit. They are moved by things, moved by stuff. moved by feelings, moved by lack, what they do not have. Their focus is on the things they want in the flesh that they do not have, than on who they are by the Spirit. And therefore, there is no confidence to their prayer. And therefore, there is no resolve to their walk with God. Our walk with God is a walk of confidence. In fact, He says expressly that we should not allow anybody to despise our youth or take away our confidence. We should not allow anybody to dampen our enthusiasm or to take away our confidence. A lot of us don't behave the way we should. That's why we're not getting the results we should get. And if you don't change the template, it will continue that way. It will basically mean that you have received power, but you are not using power. When I told that pastor, within 7 days, day three, I told him on a Sunday, and he was preaching, he preached and mentioned his father and whatever. And I said, oh, okay. I just want to see. Day three, when he got to the village, his father said, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. Said one, said, ah, I was doing the early morning ritual to consult, to find out how the day will be when I saw an angel with a big sword in his hand. And he said to me, you have only today to live. By tomorrow, I'll visit you again. If you do not do the right thing, you are dead. Said, I knew he was telling me to accept Jesus. That's why I called for you. You are the only pastor's son I have. You are the only pastor's son I have. The pastor is at, they have not transferred him, is at Ogudu. Ogudu, okay. Lagos, if they've not moved them. The man called me and was shocked. He said, my father has become a born again. I said, no, I just because you are the way you spoke about your father, you know. One would think that your father is such a big deal, and and he's not in the ranking of spirits. All demons, all every one of them are inferior in their making, in their naming, in their nomenclature, in their abilities. They are inferior to every ministering spirit. I've not mentioned angels. To every ministering spirit. When a Christian speaks, and somebody that is full of a demon speak, their words do not carry the same power. A Christian speaks forth words of power. An unbeliever who has had consultation with demons speak forth words of destruction. Even when they bless with their mouth, their words are meant to destroy. You cannot bless from a demon. There is no blessing there. So even when they bless, it carries no weight. It is when they curse that carries weight. That's why you see them say to somebody, it will go well with you. And the person would just live an average normal life. That's why they will tell somebody, oh, you will die. And then the person will die quickly. You'll be wondering how come the negative words quickly come to pass and the good words take time. It is because there is no weight to their prayers. There's no weight to their positive words. The only place where they can thrive is by saying negative things because that is what the demons that they are working with will back up. You will see their own lives. Their own lives are never good lives. Even when they dress it up in white and they put on the Rolls Royce, you look at the intricate corridors of their life. There are so many dead things that they sacrifice daily, that they kill daily in order to be able to ride a car that many of us are using. Many Christians are using like this, and people are just criticizing them. I'm talking about their kings. When they talk of, ah, come and look at the Fife or the this one of whatever, they say, he has a big limo, he has this, all those things. If you know how much blood, I'm not talking human, it could be animal, it could be goat, it could be, if you know how much sacrifices they make daily in order to be able to come out wearing white. The kind of darkness they stay in, the kind of spirits they engage in order to have a public appearance or a few hours or a few days, that people will not clap for them and say, oh, they look so good, they look royally, they look princely. You would realize that they have nothing. If you have to live your life like that, there is really nothing. And yet, they will speak with confidence. They will make demands. They would give their terms. People will go to them and prostrate and be asking for their favor because we can see with our physical eyes, but we do not discern. But you are full of the Holy Ghost. You have the Spirit of the Most High God in you. And yet you belittle it. You are like, ah, I don't want to go to her village. They said, bitches. I said, why are you talking like this? Why are you talking like this? You are not born again. You're not speaking in tongues. Hey, but I mean, I'm not speaking in tongues, but you don't know. There's this woman in the village. Ah, there's this woman in the village. Ah, the principal, my dad, this younger sister. Ah, I'm like, so what did you get? But what is the point? Please, what is the point? I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. But a child of God that is still a slave to fear, how do I categorize you? The things you are afraid of before you became born again, you are still afraid of them after you became born again. Bible said Moses was afraid of Pharaoh before he met Jehovah. After he met the I am that I am, he was no longer afraid of Pharaoh. He walked straight to Pharaoh's court and he said, "Let my people go." It's in your Bible. We all read this scripture. It's understandable to be afraid before you receive the Holy Ghost. You cannot receive the Holy Ghost and continue in fear. Basically, you will never be able to build the confidence that comes with the Holy Ghost so that you can then become an overcomer. To become an overcomer means to take back the territory that the enemy are taking, to subdue the enemy under your footstool, and to claim victory, to say, "I have won." A man that is not confident, a man that is not confident cannot do all that. So you now see a lot of Christians that are what they call an empress, where they are pastors in the city, full of the Holy Spirit in the city, but they cannot go to their hometown because in the hometown there is a witch there that they are afraid of. So the witch will say, "I cannot touch him in the city." So we have divided territory. I'm the king of the village, and that one is the king of the city. As long as he stays in the city, it's fine. If he comes to this village. I remember one woman challenged the pastor friend of mine. Challenged the pastor friend of mine. He said she's the head of the Oshogbo people of their town, and that he cannot do a crusade. So a pastor friend of mine wanted to do a crusade in his own town. And some of you will know him, but I don't want to mention his name. I wanted to do a crusade in the sometime. He has become successful in Lagos, Ibadan, in other countries of the world. He had done well for the gospel. So eventually one day he said, "Ah, we've not done anything in my village. Let's go there. Let me organize some pastors there. Let me do pastors' conference with them. And then let me do some CSR in my village. And let me do a 3 days crusade in my own village where I was born." And then they began to put the poster up. And this woman went to the pastor's family house to see the pastor's parents. And she said, "I heard your son is planning to come to the village to do a crusade. I heard he's going to give people food. He wants to do this." All that was fine. But that crusade, you cannot have it. Because we Oshogbo people, we have a meeting what to do, and we are going to do that thing for 7 days, and it is clashing with the meeting he wants to have. We have not disturbed him all this while in the city. He can be doing what he's king of the city. But this one he wants to come and do in the village. He cannot because this is our territory. So tell him to remove his hand and to stay away from him. So the parents quickly called him and said, "Ha, please, no parents, ha. We know this woman. We know this woman. She's a very terrible person. She's the head of all the witches. She's this, she's that. There's one farm that somebody collected from somebody. When they called her into it, the person committed blood and died. There's another land that they were fighting over. When they called her into it, the person submitted blood and died. So this woman is not to be trifled with. Please, don't send whatever you want to do, just send the money to us. We help you share the money. We help you share the food. But don't come, don't come." And this pastor said it in my hearing. He said, "My parents are saying I should not come. That there is a witch." I said, "Eh? Ah, for that one reason." For that one reason. There are some of us that we are not this not afraid of what I am not afraid of whatever anybody has to do. I'm not kidding. I want you to come and display. It is my joy. It is my joy to watch your madness because it is sure for me. I will not say a word. You will dance into the forest. I told the pastor, I said, don't say that again. Don't say it to my end. This thing is vexing my spirit. If it vexes my spirit, I'll be saying negative things. I'm not kidding. I hate to say negative things, but when my spirit is provoked, like it happened when I said that happened at Nema City the other time. When my spirit is provoked, I'll be feeling fire in my throat. My throat will become heated. And when I open my mouth, you'll just hear the kind of tongues I'll be speaking and the kind of words I'll be saying. And then people will be dying. And I don't want that. But don't provoke my spirit. Actually, don't provoke my spirit. Don't provoke my spirit. Don't say it anymore. Don't give me the details anymore. When is the date? Then I said, yeah, we are going. And we are not praying about it. You can pray about it if you are afraid or concerned. I'm not concerned. I'm not really concerned about such things. The confidence I have in Christ is not, I didn't psych myself up. It's not motivation now. It's not motivational. I'm not a motivational person. It is what I know. It is what I know. I've gone beyond certain levels in my I've gone beyond. I've eaten with beings that many only read about in scripture. And with joy, I've partaken of their communion. I can no longer deny the reality of Christ. For anything anybody is boasting of with their mouth, what can you say with your mouth? What do you want to say with your mouth compared to the things I've handled and seen? I said, so let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, on the day they were supposed to go, all of them got into the car. They were traveling to Ilomi Axis, Kwara State Axis. And they said, oh, JSW. I said, oh. I'm not coming, but I want you to come back and tell me what happened. He said, ah, Jesus, I said, I'm not coming. I said, if I come, your witches will die. So go. At their city gate, when they got their covered got to the city gate, this woman and all our Shugo people, not only all of them are waiting, they were the one that did escort for their vehicle to their father's house, to his father's house. They removed their wrapper. They were waving it in the air. They were shouting, ah, the children of God have come. The children of God have come. When they called me and they told me, I laughed. I said, they will not do what? He said, Bradwinka, look at this. This is a video I'm doing. Look at all of them. About 16, they removed their wrapper. And they were shouting, I want my Lord today. I want my Lord today. Y'all don't know. I want my Lord today. And they escorted their vehicle down to where they called me. I said, that's why I didn't come. The Lord told me that he has sorted it out. So I didn't want to come because I would not like seeing them. My point, if indeed you have received power, please develop the confidence to work with this power. It's like receiving electricity and having no transformer. Power is wild. Confidence helps you to tailor it, to put it in perspective. It helps you to walk right, to think right, to act right. If you see the confidence of Jesus Christ, you love it. If you see the confidence of John the Baptist, you love it. You will love the confidence of John, of Apostle Paul. Some of us here, we look at Peter as somehow because he vacillated on confidence. Today, he will say, I'm confident, I'm confident. Then he would act the opposite. And then tomorrow, he will say, I'm confident, I'm confident. Then he will act the opposite. Lord Jesus, Peter was my least favorite apostle. And I've said this to him, to his face. Said, I'm sorry, but this, I do not see any example in that. Today, they are eating with the Jews, Gentiles. When the Jews came, they began to pander to the Gentiles. When Gentiles are not there, they pander to the Jews. It's bad character. A lot of us are like that. We say we apply wisdom. That's not wisdom. It is bad character. If you are full of the Holy Ghost indeed, and you have received power, you must begin to ramp up your confidence. With power comes confidence. The enemies will not submit to a coward. So if you are full of the Holy Spirit and you are sure the Holy Spirit will receive this will, and you are expecting the enemy to submit to you, will they submit to you when you are running away? You are running away. If Jesus denied them submit, if Jesus denied them submit, you are running away. You need to look at the picture. You are fighting a battle, and then you turn your back. You are running away in retreat, and then you begin to pray. Father, let them surrender. Let them surrender. Who are they surrendering to? You are supposed to be standing that they may surrender. What did he say? He said, after you've done all you know to do, stand. Didn't say run. Be confident. You have received power. Build up your confidence. When you pray in tongues, say it. I'm no longer afraid. I have the power that overcomes the world. The gospel has given me the power to overcome. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of the spirit of might. I'm full of wisdom. I'm full of confidence. I'm full of grace. I have anointed in my bones, in my body, in every fiber of my skin. I have anointed. Nothing shall my enemies hurt me in this life. In heaven, under the heavens, nothing shall my enemies hurt me. Let Capiana, thank you, Father. I'm bold, I'm strong, I'm able to do abundantly, exceedingly, far above, through Christ who strengthens me. Christ in me, the manifestation of glory. Akepo shata. Here goes City. If you are talking like that, and then you get a call and they say, you see, we are calling from the family house. We sold the property. We now want to give you. I say, okay, this is my account number. Send it. Why? Because now you are an overcomer, so you should be able to collect the money. You should not be afraid of it. You should not say, they want to use the money to lure me back into the previous situation. No. Something happened. They didn't let you go by mercy. You prayed, you received the Holy Ghost, and so they had no option but to surrender, and so they are bringing a peace offering. You must accept it. You will accept it with confidence, and then you will tell them terms, and then that is you taking over territory, beginning to register it in their mind that you are not the GSW of yesterday. You are the new deal. That is how we work in confidence. You must never use the old templates. Otherwise, Moses will keep running. He will never go back and he will never get his calling fulfilled. So you must build up your confidence. If you are here, you've listened to me today. I'll give you a few minutes. I want you to make your declarations. Before we give our offering, I want you to begin to do it now. Are you confident? Are you strong? Are you able? Christ in you, what does that mean? Is it the manifestation of power, of glory, of strength, of grace? Is there any fear in you at all? Can you please purge yourself of it? I fear nothing. Is there a curse? Maybe your father, your mother, somebody cursed you, and you are thinking the curse is still operational. No. You have not received the power of God that has lifted you above. The Bible says that you have received a blessing. You are the children of the blessed one. So the curse can no longer hold effect. A lot of pastors will come to me and say, my father cursed me before he died. That's why I'm not prospering. I'll tell them, no, don't be stupid. You are born again. Don't be saying, who is your father? not born again. By virtue of being born again, by virtue of receiving the Holy Spirit, you have become the blessed one. They said, the demons called Jesus, they said, we know you, like the son of the blessed one. Because he was full of the Holy Spirit, therefore, by nature, he was a blessed one. This is the mindset you must have. Is there anything that somebody has done to you, incision on your body, you've eaten something? No, 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 no. Those things have no more effect on you. The Holy Spirit is the seal of eternal life. Those things may have short-term effect, but the day you received Christ and you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you receive the seal that nobody can write upon. Nobody can give anything to it now, and it will now negate the power of the Holy Spirit. It is no longer possible. You are full of the Holy Ghost now. Therefore, nobody can touch you. This is the confidence you have. This is why we lay hands on our children without fear. This is why we speak to our businesses without fear. This is why we speak to nature and science without fear. This is how we speak to governments and situations without fear. Why? Because we are confident. We have received power, the power that controls all things, the power that overcomes the world, the power that bolsters our faith. We have received it. So this is the confidence. This is the mindset you must have. This is how you address it. You see, in the place of prayer, you are not the one that's kneeling down. Okay, have mercy. I have seen. No. Those days are gone. You are not in the days of David anymore. You are in the days of the one who has killed sin, terribly hung it on the cross and nailed it to the cross forever and ever. So you are now full of confidence and full of Christ. Thank you, Father. It's time to give our offering and give us unto the Lord. You will notice that I do not say, oh, give your offering. I say, I like you to give according to the leading of the Spirit. You must do all things by the Spirit. Anything you do outside of faith is unacceptable to God. Anything you do outside of the Spirit of God is unacceptable. So things must be done outside by the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit says, this is what you should do, that's what you should do. If he says, don't give, that's fine. If he says, give, that's fine. If he says, give a certain amount, that's what you should give. You must train yourself to listen to him in all things and to do whatever he says to do at all times. Enough of being led by your own flesh. Enough of being led by anything. In all things, acknowledge him. That's what the Bible says. In all things. So, it is how I give. When I go to a place, in fact, sometimes before I go to a church, I will have given them the money ahead. What the Holy Spirit says, this is the figure. I will send it ahead of going there. So when I get there, I'll just go there and minister and leave because I know what the Lord has said to me. It is a Christian who does not have a deep relationship with the Holy Spirit. A Christian who does not have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit struggles with giving, with their thinking, struggles with confidence. I belong to the Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your children. Thank you for their confidence. Their confidence is in you. We make our boast. I make my boast in you. I know the Father that birthed me, and I know the nature of he that has called me with a holy calling. And I speak the same of your children. We make our boast in you. Through all situations, no matter where we find ourselves in the corridors of life, we make our boast in you. You are a way maker. You are the one that has been our light in the darkness. You have been the one that has set us on the course. And we know that that course is true. And we are following it daily into the fulfillment of our destiny. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. Glory and honor and adoration to your name. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory!
Glory!
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.